God tells us, and the Bible tells us, to put a lot of things out of our life. I'm going to skip forward a little bit, if I can. There we go. There are Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians 3, and 1 Peter chapter 2 are kind of parallel passages that talk about putting things out of our life. We all know as Christians that we are to, there are traits and characteristics and sins, of course, that we are to put off or take off. And when I think of that, I think about clothes, you know, taking off the old clothes, putting on new clothes. We've been cleansed by our Lord. We don't want to go back and put on those old clothes anymore. We've got new clothes and a new person that we are. Here in this passage, in 1 Peter chapter 1, you'll see one of the things that it names here is hypocrisy. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, and evil speaking. And so these are one of the things that I want, the thing I want to concentrate on this evening is the hypocrisy part. One of the many things that we are, sins that we are to put out of our life when we become a Christian is hypocrisy. Now, I think hypocrisy is one of those things that we kind of get fuzzy on. We kind of don't quite understand sometimes what exactly it means. I think we've all probably known someone that that is a Christian and maybe someone that attends the congregation that we're a part of, and it might be even somebody that we've looked up to, and we see them, we know that they're a Christian, and then we see them out somewhere and they do something that, that they shouldn't be doing. They say something they shouldn't say, maybe they lose their temper, maybe they're involved or in a group of people that are participating in something they that they shouldn't be participating in, and the first thing that comes to our mind is that person is a hypocrite. And maybe that is not the case. That's what I want to look at tonight. Is that person necessarily, when we see that Christian that is sinning, are they necessarily being a hypocrite? You know? Not necessarily. Now, they could be, but not necessarily. And so I want to look at three things this evening quickly. First of all, I want to look at what hypocrisy is, because like I said, we can get a preconceived idea and a false concept of what something is, and I believe that we do this with hypocrisy, and sometimes we can be just flat out wrong when it comes to something. Secondly, I want to look at what the Bible says about hypocrisy. It has a lot to say about it, and I want, as with any subject, we need to look at see what God has to say about it. And then thirdly, I want to look at some traits of hypocrisy. Because as human nature, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've done, we're all like this. We all can look back and we can look at something, in this case hypocrisy, and we can think of maybe 100 different people that we think are hypocrites. And we can say, oh yeah, so-and-so, I think about hypocrisy, I think of so-and-so, so-and-so, and we don't look in the mirror. We don't tend to look at ourselves. And so the Bible lays out, when you look at Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6 and in Matthew 23, there are certain traits that we see that will tell us whether or not we are a hypocrite. And the trick to it is we've got to be honest with ourselves. You know, that's what we've got to do. We've got to be honest with ourselves. And so that's the three areas that we're going to look at this evening. First of all, what is hypocrisy? This definition says pretending to be something that we're not, and that's, we know that. We know that's what a hypocrite is. But look at the second part, and have no intention on being. And that's something that we don't think of. A hypocrite's not only someone that plays the part, that plays a role, that pretends to be something that he's not, he or she is not, but it's also someone who has no intention on being that way. Has no intention whatsoever of being that way. When we look at hypocrite and the origin of it, in our language, it goes all the way back to this guy, Hypocrisy. I'm not sure if that's how that's spelled, but it goes all the way back to this guy, Hypocrisy. He was an actor back years and years and years ago. And he was not only an actor, he was a great actor. He was the best. And so when he played a role, when he played the part, he was the very, very best at what he did. And so if you were an actor and you did a very good job at acting, at playing your part, then they might call you a hypocrite. And what they were saying by calling you a hypocrite is saying, you're as good as Hypocrisy. That's what they meant by that. And so it was actually, from the very beginning, it was a compliment. You know, to say that one is a hypocrite is saying you're like Hippocrates. In other words, you're the best. In fact, they probably had an award. I have no idea. I could just see them, you know, with the Hypocrite Award. The Hypocrite Award goes to so-and-so for being as good as Hippocrates this year. But later on, the moral aspect of it came out. And it began to be known, be thought of as people who were played one thing or one way, pretended to be one way morally, but were really, in essence, really something else. And that's, of course, what the Bible is talking about when it deals with hypocrisy. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. The Bible warns about hypocrisy many different times. And here Jesus talks about it. Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 1. He says, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together and they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. And so what Jesus is talking about here is he's talking about the Pharisees, the religious elite, I guess, of that time. And he's saying that many of the Pharisees played the part. They played, they pretended, they tried to make themselves look like they were God's people, like they were righteous people, and in all reality, they were not. They were playing the part. And when it came right down to it, they didn't have a love for God. They didn't have a love for other people as well. And so that's what he's talking about there. You know, sometimes we can be like that. You and I can be like that if we don't watch it. We can play the part. We can act and play the role of Christian. We can come here and we can worship, and we can be regular maybe in our attendance, and we can play that part of Christianity, but really not be a Christian. Notice what he says here. You know, to look at these people, to look at these Pharisees that were hypocrites, they looked like they were religious people. But notice what he says here. It says, he talks about those things that are said in the dark are going to be made known in the light. Those things, and you think about that, those things that I do maybe when no one else is around, those things that I do in the dark that I don't think anybody else can see, he's saying light is going to be shed on that. You know, if there are things that I'm trying to hide, and maybe in the privacy of my own home, of maybe my own bedroom, maybe something I'm viewing on the internet, watching on television, something I'm participating in that is in private, and it's in the dark, or as he says here, in the inner room, and I don't think anybody's going to know about it, guess what? They are. There are no secrets. And that's what he's trying to get the Pharisees to see. Those things in the dark, you think they're hidden? No, they're going to be revealed in the light. Those things that you did in the inner room, they're going to be shout from the housetop. Everyone's going to know. There is no secret. And so we've got to make sure that we are true. Hypocrisy contributes to a seared conscience. In 1 Peter, or 1 Timothy chapter 4, the first two verses, Paul says to Timothy, now the Spirit says in the latter days that some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, there's our word, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And so what this has to do with is, you know, there was a time maybe in my life that I would slip up and commit a sin and do something that I would be ashamed of, I would be embarrassed of, but for whatever reason, but maybe because of some kind of pleasure I got from it, I kept on doing that. I kept on participating in that sin. And maybe it was away from everybody else, no one else knew about it, but I kept on participating in that, and it finally got to the point to where it doesn't bother me anymore. I got over it. It doesn't bother my conscience anymore, and that's exactly what he's talking about here. And so hypocrisy kind of leads us in that direction to a seared conscience, to where, you know, if we play the role, we play the part of being a Christian to a certain point, we can even fool ourselves. We get to the point where we don't even play, we don't even pretend like it bothers us anymore. You know, we don't care that we're deceiving people. We don't care that we're living wrong because we've done it so long. And so we see hypocrisy contributes to a seared conscience. And so we know what Jesus says about it. We know what hypocrisy is. We see what the Lord thinks about it. Now what I want to look at is are three different traits that can help us. Now, I want to encourage everyone to be honest with yourself as we look at these, as we look at Matthew chapter 6 and, and we look at Matthew chapter 23. First of all, turn to Matthew chapter 6. The very first of these, the very first trait, a hypocrite pays more attention to reputation than character. A hypocrite pays more attention to his reputation than character. And here are two questions that, if we're honest with ourselves, can reveal whether or not we are a hypocrite. First of all, what really bothers you? What really bothers me about being caught doing something that is wrong, hurting our reputation or losing our soul? What really bothers me when I've done something, maybe I'm in a habit, maybe I've committed a sin, it bothered me, but I got over that, I kept on committing a sin, no one knows about it, and finally someone finds out about it. Someone finds me out, they see who I really am. What bothers me about that? Does it bother me that now I'm exposed, they know who I really am, and now they might tell somebody else and they're going to know who I am and it's going to hurt my reputation? Or is it going to bother me worse that my soul's in jeopardy? You know, because if it bothers me more that it's going to hurt my reputation, then I might be a hypocrite. I might be a hypocrite. I might have a problem because I don't have my heart in the right place. Another question we can ask here is, do I only do good works when others are going to know about it? Think about that. Do I only do good works? Do I only serve? Do I only put that $100 bill on the plate when everyone else can see me doing that? Do I only, if someone asked me, a member of the church asked me to go to maybe a homebound widow to give them the Lord's Supper and have prayer, but nobody else is going to know about it, do I kind of shy away from that? I don't want to do that. I don't hardly have time to do that, you know. But if I'm going to be seen, if I can head something up, if I can, if everyone can know that I am doing this and look at what a good job, and I get patted on the back and everyone tells me what a wonderful job I'm doing, you know, why am I doing it? Why am I doing it? Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness, Jesus says, before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you that they have their reward in full. And so he's saying there, you know, you could substitute righteousness there for Christianity if you wanted to. Beware of practicing your Christianity or your righteousness before men to be seen by men, because you have your reward. Notice he says you have your reward in full. Your reward is that pat on the back. Your reward is someone saying how good you are. You know, and there's nothing wrong with doing something that other people can see, something good, a good deed that others can see. It's what's my intent? What's my motive? Why am I doing that? Because if I'm doing that to be praised, then I'm doing it for the wrong reason. If I'm doing that for that pat on the back, then I'm doing it for the wrong reason. And so that's what he's saying here. Verse 5, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you that they have their reward. You know, don't think that you're going to get any kind of reward from God. Don't think that you're going to get any reward from heaven, because you have your reward already. You know, can you imagine that? You know, that's your reward, that pat on the back, you know, that recognition that so many people seek. Verse 16, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you that they have their reward in full. Once again, what is the key here? Being seen by men. And so what is our motive? If you are trying to be seen by men, then he's saying you have your reward. Okay, don't expect anything from heaven. Now look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. We're familiar with this chapter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, over and over again. The chapter where Jesus really exposes the Pharisees. Starting there in verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and they lengthen their tassels of their garments." Notice, first of all, he says that the scribes and Pharisees, they sit in the chair of Moses. It was a custom for a teacher of the law, for a rabbi, to stand as they were reading from the law, but they would sit as they expounded the law. And so notice what he says there is these Pharisees are expounding the law of Moses. He says, listen to them and do what they say. Why? Because they're expounding on God's law. But then he says, don't do what they do. Why? Because they don't do what they say. Because they're hypocrites. He says, for they say things and do not do them. I think of practice what you preach. They don't practice what they preach. And then he goes on down here in verse 5 to talk about their phylacteries. Now, what in the world is he talking about phylacteries? Are you familiar with that? Phylacteries, and I found a couple of pictures, they're not real good, but really this is a fashion, I think, that got started from a misunderstanding of what the law taught. If you look in these passages here, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Numbers chapter 15, and I think there are a couple more, it talks about, without going there and reading those, it talks about how we are to, how they were to bind the law, God's law, on their head and on their hands. And so the Pharisees, they took this in a literal sense. What he's saying there, even back in these times, what he's saying there, bind God's law on your head, what does your head represent? Represents your mind. He's saying, put God's law in your mind. Bind God's law to your hand. What does your hand represent? It represents your deeds. And so what he's saying, bind God's law to your head, put it in your mind, and act it out in your life. That's what he's teaching them to do. But the Pharisees took it literally. And so here they are. They took these, they kind of look, I looked at different pictures of them, but they kind of look like lipstick boxes, some of them. And they took these little boxes, you know, and they put scriptures in them, close them up, and then they would tie leather straps to each end, and they would wrap one around their head, as this man has done, and they would, as he's done right here, they would take it and put that box on their wrist, on their arm, and they would wrap it around their arm. And what kills me about this is Jesus is not condemning this, okay? They're doing this. This got started from misunderstanding what the law taught. But Jesus is not saying it's wrong. He's not saying don't do this. He's saying the reason why, hey, if you want to put scriptures on your head and on your hand and everywhere else, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Why were they doing it? Look at me. Look how holy and righteous I am. I am God's right-hand man. I am, you know, listen to me. I'm a step above everybody else. Your intent is the reason why. And that's why they told him, that's what he's warning them about there. Character is what we're after, isn't it? Being genuine in our Christianity is what we're after. Romans chapter 12, 9 and 10. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. That's what we need to do. We need to let love, we need to let our Christianity be without hypocrisy. Going on from here, that's the first trait. Hypocrite pays more attention to reputation than character. The second is a hypocrite practices religious acts while his heart is far from God. Look at verse 23 and 24. A hypocrite practices religious acts while his heart is far from God. Verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and you have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Okay, according to the law, they were to give a tenth of their income. They were to tithe. And the Pharisees, boy, they were sticklers on this, weren't they? So here they have, and what he's talking about here, of course, with the mint and the dill and cumin, these are spices. And so if you could just imagine, the Pharisees have gone out to their garden, and they have come in maybe to their house, and they're actually dividing out, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's, you know, that belongs to God, and this is mine, you know. They're sticklers. You know, wouldn't you say that kind of person's particular about their religion? They're particular about their religion, but they're missing the main point. They're missing it. Here they are. They've gone to great lengths to make sure that every little thing, every little detail's done right, to the point where they're taking their spices, for crying out loud, and giving a tenth of that. Jesus says, you're missing it. You're missing the point. He says, but you leave undone justice, mercy, faithfulness, and you could add in there love. Because they're missing that too. They're missing love. They're missing concern for lost souls. They could care less about anybody. All they care about is themselves. And he makes it very obvious here. He says, you strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. Looking at number three here. A hypocrite emphasizes his own virtue and others' sinfulness. Verse 29 through 30. A hypocrite will emphasize his own virtues and expose others' sinfulness. Verse 29, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in those days of our fathers, we would have not been partakers with them in shedding of the blood of the prophets. And so here they are, you know, if I had lived back in those days, I wouldn't have had anything to do with the prophets and how they were treated and the mistreating of the prophets. I wouldn't have had anything to do with that. You know, we all know people like this. You know, I think all of us dealt with this somewhat in school, and the sad thing is some people never outgrew it. But, you know, trying to make yourself look bigger by downing someone else, by pointing out others' shortcomings. And that's basically what the Pharisees would do here. You know, they would. I recall Jesus teaching, Sermon on the Mount, about the speck and the plank. You know, seeing the speck in someone's eye, but forgetting the plank in your own eye. And that's what he's talking about them doing. And so they were trying to flaunt themselves and their Christianity by trying to expose the faults of others. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I think everyone knows that passage really well, but he says that we're supposed to be proving the will of God. We're supposed to be proving the will, that what is that good and acceptable and perfect, he says, will of God. Brethren, that's what it's about. That's what we're trying to do. There is no competition. No one is going to go to heaven because they've done more good deeds than someone else. No one. There's no kind of competition. Sometimes I wonder if preachers think that they're getting in some kind of competition. There is no competition. We're not trying to be better than anyone else. In Philippians 2 and verse 3, he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. The Pharisees didn't do that. Hypocrites do not do that. A hypocrite esteems me, myself and I, above everyone else. And so, when we're thinking about hypocrisy, we might think that there's a lot of inconsistencies in the church today. And we might be right. We might think that there is a lot of hypocrisy in the church today. The sad thing about it is there's so many people out in the world that says, well, I'm not going to have any part to do with the church because it's full of hypocrites, you know. Full of hypocrites. Why would I want to go to a hypocrite meeting? You know, out in the world, we are who we say we are. At least we're not trying to pretend, you know, we're real. You know, and that's sad. I would rather, you know, I don't want to die and have to live in hell with every hypocrite that's ever lived, you know. That's how I think about it. We need to remember what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is someone who has no intention on being what he's pretending to be. That's what a hypocrite is, and we need to keep that in mind. When we see, sometimes we're very quick, you know, the Bible says a lot about being judgmental and that we shouldn't be that way. We're very quick to be judgmental. Very quick when we see a brother or sister in Christ, and maybe even somebody that we're very close to, and we see them doing something that maybe they shouldn't be doing, and what might be going on is they are struggling with that temptation in their life. They're not necessarily being a hypocrite. They're not necessarily trying to hide some kind of secret sinful life. They might be struggling and just gave in to some sin, some temptation that they have. We need to remember what a hypocrite is, and we need to not use that word so lightly. If there is anyone here this evening who feels like you've been a hypocrite in your life, then you can make that right. I know this has not been a sermon, of course, about salvation, but the baptistry is always prepared for anyone who wants to obey the gospel, wants to put the Lord on in baptism. We want to encourage you to do that this evening. If anyone has that desire, if anyone needs the prayers of the church, then we would love to do that for you. If you have a need, please come while we stand and sing.